Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. Today, my guest is Brad Fishman, CEO of Fishman Public Relations. And Brad will give us a recap of the recently completed Franchise Unconference. Last week, we had Ron Feldman, who also attended the Unconference. But Ron Feldman is the, as we know, the CEO of Franchise America Finance and Seedwood Capital. And he was on and talked a lot about franchise finance and access to credit, and certainly great information. Next week, our guest will be Mike Roseman, CEO of Bowfly, and he'll be representing the Small Business Lending Summit and be talking to us about the upcoming summit on April 17th in Washington, D.C. That'll be the second annual Small Business Lending Summit. And then, of course, we lead right into our third annual Franchise Legal Series. We really have a great lineup ahead. As we've said before, it's some of the best minds in the legal community within franchising. And Joe Caruso, who's not with me today, had a conflict of schedule. Joe and I will be hosting that series, and we're really looking forward to it. And just to give you an update, Lane Fisher, also one of the co-founders of Unconference, of the Franchise Unconference, will start off on April 12th, and he'll be talking about private equity and franchising, followed on April 19th by Lee Play. Of course, we always like talking with Lee around social media and technology within franchising. The following week, from Lee's office, also be Leslie Curran. We're talking about franchise brokers. Then on May 3rd, we'll lead in with Warren Lee Lewis, the author of the Franchise Seller's Handbook, and he'll be talking about financial performance representations, franchise compliance, and best practices in franchise sales. The following week, we have Ken Prime. Ken is an associate of Jonathan Redgrave, who was on last year talking about e-discovery and everything e-matters. And then May 17th, we have Michael Webster, who's the strategic chair for the International Association of Franchisees and Dealers, and we'll be talking about franchisee associations. And then on May 24th, Shelley Weatherby will be on giving us a recap of the then-completed IFA Legal Symposium, which will be going on in Washington a couple of days before. So really have a great lineup. Coming in with Franchise Today, and then we'll be breaking for summer. And imagine that, we're already talking about summer. I'm on the phone today with Brad Fishman, and he's up in Utah, and I'm talking about summer. Well, without further ado, let me bring Brad to the table. Brad is, as I said, the CEO of Fishman Public Relations. He's a co-founder of the Franchise Unconference, along with Lane Fisher, and Don Kane from Hot Dish Advertising. And together they created a forum where franchisors can network with other franchisor presidents, CEOs, founders, and chairpersons to discuss issues that are affecting all of them. Hey, Brad, welcome today.
Thank you, Paul. You said, mentioned summer. I said, I was out in Utah last week, and this week I happen to be out here, my children's spring break, and it's closer to 60 today, so summer isn't too far away for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I was in Denver last week, and temperatures were going up into the 70s. It's really an amazing year. And
yeah.
I know
we don't know where it's coming from, but most of us aren't going to complain.
No. I'm not going to complain. No, Ron Feldman was saying that it was 70-something degrees in Philly the other day. And I keep saying, you know, winter's around the corner, winter's around the corner. But I don't know. As we're leading into April, I think winter is long gone. But you know, when we think about winter and we think about skiing, we have to think about the Franchise Unconference, which I know took place March 13th through 15th in Park City, Utah, where you're at today. And as the website promotes, franchise moguls meet the moguls and accelerate their businesses in a relaxed, collaborative setting. So tell me, Brad, Unconference, why, how did it all start?
Well, it kind of started probably about 4 years ago. And I'm an avid skier, and I was out here skiing with Lane Fisher and Paul Rocchio and Scott Lear from the IFA and Steve Greenbaum and Brian Spadell from Postnet. And we said, this is fun. I mean, because no matter what, you go up the chairlift, we talk about franchising, we talk about what's going on, we're talking about the next conferences, and we always talk about how fun it is that we enjoy spending time together, which is pretty great. But we also, you know, a lot of cases, it's fun to enjoy activities, but when you're enjoying these activities, doesn't mean you stop talking about business, which the common thread between all of us was franchising. And so we started talking. We said, that'd be fun if we can get 15, 20 of us to come out the first year, which, like I said, this was the third annual. And the first year, we had over 75 people attend. And it turned out to be such a great opportunity, something Lane and I and Dawn have continued to run with. And year after year, it gets better and better. And, you know, this year we had, you know, close to about 76 different companies, 56 presidents attending. And, you know, and the way it really started was, okay, we'll do it from Wednesday to Friday. Now this year, Tuesday night, we had a small dinner. This year, we had 90 people attend the dinner on Tuesday. So more and more people are coming out there for the opportunity to network. And not only at skiing, there's people that went snowshoeing, they went cross-country skiing, and they went snowmobiling.
Right. I even heard some people just hung around the fire.
Yeah, and they hung around the fire, had some guys. So you talked to Ron, so they were smoking their cigars, enjoying the daytime, talking about everything which is going on. But and there's other people, including my wife, who went spying. So, I mean, you have the opportunity to do lots of different activities. But, it starts early in the morning. Then we meet for breakfast around 7:30 to 8 o'clock. Then 8 to 9:30, we go with the activity. You know, this year we had 5 undercover bosses attend, plus the someone from the show, who one of the producers that comes from the agency that puts it on, which was fabulous.
Mm-hmm. That is great. I know we've been honored with several of the undercover bosses from franchising. Most recently, of course, Shelley Sun from Brightstar, and of course Dina Dwyer Owens from the Dwyer Group, and then a couple of weeks ago, made Catherine Monson, who has a soon to show undercover boss episode coming up in May.
And we had Chad Halleck from Budget Blinds,
okay,
who was on, and Dan Dizio from the Philadelphia Pretzel Company, who both attended, and one of the past ones was Steve Joyce from Choice Hotels. So it was a fabulous thing, and we kind of talked about, you know, some of the fears they've gone through, and everyone has a fear, no matter what. It's a fabulous opportunity to generate tremendous publicity for their concept, but there's always people that are going to get a little worried.
Well, of course, and I know with Fishman Public Relations, you deal with that day in and day out, and I know you definitely marvel at publicity, and it has been great publicity for the franchising community, no doubt. Let's shift gears back a second, you know, to the unconference. So you meet for breakfast in the morning. What is a typical day like once you come? Well, take me through breakfast and move forward to the lifts.
Well, like I said, to mention the first day, we meet for breakfast from 7:30 to 8:00. And then we had the thing from 8 to 9:30. Then at 9:30, we break up. And between 9:30 and 10, everyone gets ready and chooses the different activities. You know, I happen to go skiing. A lot of people went snowmobiling. Deb Vilch just from my office went. She led a thing of snowshoeing, which I have no desire to do. But lots of people love it. And, you know, that goes through there. And a lot of us meet, I know the people that went to go skiing. We meet for lunch. And then we have an opera ski at the base of the mountain from 3 to 5, where everyone else joins us over there. And it's a really good networking opportunity from 3 to 5. And, you know, we sit around, we talk, we laugh, we tell stories about the day. But what really, as I kind of mentioned, what everyone has in common is franchising. We talk about what's going on in the industry, some of the problems. You know, I know you mentioned you had Ron last week. You know, everyone says right now financing is getting better. Obviously, it's a lot better than the last couple of years, but it's still an issue for a lot of franchise organizations.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So we talk about that. I mean, you know, we have some people that are lawyers there. We have people who are in social media. This year we had individuals attend from Google and Facebook, which was a wonderful opportunity to hear about what they're looking for and what's going on there. So we try to bring that in. And, you know, it's a good opportunity for everyone to sit and network. There's lots of people who are, you know, I won't say lots of people, but there's franchisors who are in the same space. So they have the opportunity to talk and see what they're going through, and it's kind of very casual, and no one's out there with tape recorders or recording things for them. So we keep it very casual. So that goes on from 3 to 5, then everyone goes back, and then we will have a little wine get-together usually, which goes from, you know, about 5:30 to 7:30. So you got to go back and change pretty quickly. And then the second night, which was on Wednesday, we had the Olympic Center rented out where they actually competed with Olympic Museum is. I don't know, have you ever been there, Paul?
No, I haven't.
It's a fabulous facility. That's where they have the bobsled event in the Olympics, plus the ski jumping. And I know a lot of people have heard Keith Gerson, who has been in the franchise industry for many, many years. Matter of fact, is a new president over at FranConnect, which is something exciting.
I know.
Exciting.
Yeah, that's communicating.
So Keith and his lovely wife and a couple of their band members played for us. And then Lane, as always, put together a very, very fun slideshow, giving awards to people who, you know, as people know, we had a few injuries last year, more like four.
That's what I understand. I remember seeing some of the photos on Facebook of John Carlston's ankle, and I know there was some
Joe
others.
Joe Lindemeyer, TSS Photography, had his ACL and his MCL.
Oh my God.
Nancy Bigley had some issues last year, and Doc Cohn was on a snowmobile and had kind of a little mishap. So that was last year. So Lane did a little video, and this year for something different, he decided to do a franchise or a look-alike contest. So people they picked out who look like celebrities. And
nice.
We kind of make it very fun, had a wonderful dinner. And, you know, I think people really enjoy themselves. That's the best part about it. A lot of franchisors can have a great time, laugh at themselves. Other people laugh with them. But everyone knows it's a lot of good fun. And then we came back, and a lot of people joined us, and we, you know, had a casual atmosphere for wine and cheese and fruit up on top at the hotel. And, you know, by that time, it's 11:30 at night.
Right. Well, Ron gave me a couple of questions to ask you, and one of them, and you knew this was going to happen following Ron, without a doubt. And he said to ask you, how many cases of wine were consumed by the group?
That's probably a trick question, but if I had to guess, I would say we probably went through 8-9 cases plus.
I know.
Somewhere between 120, 100 plus different bottles of wine.
Yeah, interesting. Well, hell, isn't that a typical dinner with Ron Feldman and his crew? I wish.
I think we went through a little bit more bottles than normal, but. You know, like I said, it's a wonderful situation. The good news is no one drives. We had shuttle buses taken back and forth to the Olympic Center. So it was the nice part. It was at the hotel. So we kept everyone safe. But, yes, we enjoy good wine and good conversation.
You know, I mean, this is, obviously no small feat putting together a conference, an unconference, if you would, especially with this many people, activities, coordination. You guys work nonstop all year. You got your feet to the fire. You're very active in the IFA. You're just coming off the IFA convention, obviously looking for some rest and relaxation. I mean, why take on, I understand going up there, relaxing, a few people, but why take on something of this magnitude? Why do you keep doing it? Why does it keep growing?
That's a $100 million question. I mean, sometimes Lane and I ask the same thing. And, you know, Lane and I always joke around, Sherry, my wife, and Michelle Fisher, Lane's wife, go through more than this than any of us. And but we have a lot of fun with it. You know, with Dawn, myself, and Lane, it's been something that we love to do. It's a fun activity. And I'll be honest with you, we've met some great people, and we've got to know a lot of people. I mean, like I said, we had some special people attend this year. I mean, that's our whole goal. I mean, Steve Romanella attended. Like I mentioned, Steve Joyce attended. We have a lot of the IFA board of directors. And we're fortunate Steve Caldera attended with Beth Solomon and Scott Lear, Erica Fitzsimmons from the PAC group. So, I mean, we were able to have a lot of fun. We helped raise money for the PAC, and we enjoy it. I mean, at the end of the day, if Lane and I didn't enjoy it as much as we did, we probably wouldn't do this.
Sure, Sure. Well, I mean, certainly it's a passion. Certainly it's appreciated. I mean, you guys do a lot for franchising and a lot for the IFA, and certainly don't want to diminish anybody else's efforts. But you guys are always go, go, go. I know we see your wife, Sherry, running around quite a bit, too. I mean, it's great. It's really, you know, coming out of the economic downturn, and hopefully we are swinging back up. At least that's the sentiment. That's the trend that we're seeing. Hopefully we've weathered the worst, and we can continue to grow. Of course, it's always great.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're seeing it everywhere. And like I said, as you mentioned,
yeah.
I see people all the time. I attend lots of conferences. Already working on a dinner for next month at the, you know, Franchise Update multi-unit conference. And
right.
Therese and Gary from Franchise Update happen to be at the Unconference this year. I mean, they're expecting 1,000 people at their conference this year.
Yeah.
So I think
yeah.
you're really seeing an uptick in everything what you're talking about. I think multi-unit franchisees are looking for. I think money is becoming more readily available. I think you're finding, you know, I know we're busy this year. I would like to think that that the economy from the franchise standpoint, everything is going on the uptick right now, and which is very exciting for all of us. And you're seeing these type of conferences, and that's why I think our numbers have increased. People are looking, in our situation, they're looking for a casual atmosphere to find out what's working. As I mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned the second day, you know, we had Jeff Hill from Rare Capital lead, and he's the one who led the group on Friday, and basically talked about, we asked the attendees for different things that they're looking forward to, you know, things that are what they're concerned about business. Obviously, a lot of people in the franchising space are worried about healthcare and about what's going to be going on with the so-called
sure.
Obamacare. And it's a big concern to a lot of people, and you're hearing it from franchisors, and David Barr happened to be speaking quite frequently. He's a, you know, he's a franchisee for Yum Brands with both the KFC and the Taco Bell brand. And he was talking about it. I mean, it's a concern that they have, and I don't think everything will be kept the same with the healthcare aspect, but, you know, different things that we're worried about. They asked this question, what you just mentioned now, where the economy is going to. And I
right.
think most people, and, you know, a lot of people, you know, Steve Joyce from Jim Choice had the opportunity, and Jack Earl from McDonald's, they hear things a lot more than we do because of the resources of the size of their brands.
Of course, yeah.
And I think both of them are pretty optimistic, and everything that we're hearing, people are pretty positive for the coming year.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting being in Washington in April 17th for the second Small Business Lending Summit. I think we accomplished some last year, at least with the Lending Summit, but still have a ways to go. So I am definitely looking forward to the summit. And also, I'm looking forward to having Mike Roseman, the CEO of BoFi.
Yeah, like I said, I understand you have Mike, and I just heard, you know, Mike speak. I was at the Franchise Times Financial Conference,
right.
a couple weeks ago, which was out in Las Vegas, and happens to hear Mike. And Mike, you know, Mike is, you know, there's a lot of people that are pretty optimistic for the coming year. And hey, no matter what you are in the franchising industry, without money, people are not going to succeed.
No, absolutely not. And I also think that, and this is just to put a fine point on what Ron Feldman was talking about last week, we really do need, as a community, really need to focus on, you know, getting franchisees making money, improving unit economics, and that'll solve a lot of problems as well. And I know a lot of people in franchising took advantage of the downturn in the economy when they weren't selling franchises as much as they had been in the past, and turned their focus internally on operations and support systems and made improvements. And, of course, it gave them an opportunity also to delve into the new social technologies and the whole digital world. So coming out of this, certainly the lion's share of franchisors should be positioned to really capitalize on the growth as the credit markets continue to open up, be able to capitalize on that, and hopefully have a stronger and more sustainable business model for the future. That's something I know I'm definitely looking forward to. I know a lot of people are looking forward to. I know you're probably looking forward to it yourself. And it's something that's really important. We really do need to continue to improve those unit economics.
Absolutely. And, I mean, as you know, the involvement we're in, you know, majority of the work that, you know, my firm does, you know, people are hiring us for, you know, usually two big reasons. Number one is franchise lead development. And the other one is growing your brand, both from a franchisee level. And I always tell my clients and tell everyone who I talk to, I said, no matter how successful your lead generation tactics are and whatever you want to use to grow, if it's going to be anything that you do, if you are not validating by your individual franchisees, and that means your franchisees have to be successful.
Yep.
You can be the greatest lead generation thing in the world, but if you get submarined by your validation, you're not going to grow.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Too many are looking for the silver bullet, the magic dust, the easy way out, and it's not easy. But that's what also makes it great. And we continue to focus. And I know as we come up into our third annual legal series, I'm real excited. We've come a long way with that. And it seems like that legal series is almost paralleling your unconference success as well. And of course, Lane Fisher.
I mean, people, like you said, when I heard through the introduction, you know, you've got some fabulous legal experts on there. And it's interesting how specialized some of the conversations have become.
Oh, yeah. 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 I really appreciate, you know, all Lane has done for us, and he probably doesn't even realize what he's done for us. I mean, the fact that this is his third legal series with us, and I think this is just a testament to who Lane is.
I said, it was interesting to go back, and I mean, I heard that one whole legal series is about franchise brokers.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
that to me was, back in the years when, you know, a lot of us have been involved, I mean, that was a subset of so many different other things. And
oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, the thing is, and what I was getting to say, you know, about Lane, you know, and you could imagine how many attorneys want to be live on the air, not really completely knowing what's going to happen, how it's going to turn out. You know, we discussed it with Lane. We went through it. I think he was satisfied with what we presented to him and how the series was going to work out, how his segment was going to work out. And the first 2 years, he did two gangbuster segments for us on financial performance representations. He'll be leading off the legal series again this year. I mean, it just sets the table perfectly, especially with somebody like Lane Fisher, who is so actively involved in everything franchising, and certainly we thank him for agreeing to be on the third time on Franchise Today. And speaking of which, I mean, I think this is your third time on Franchise Today.
Yeah,
right?
I was fortunate to do the first time by myself, and the second time I was happened to be very, very lucky to do with a wonderful woman I happen to know who happens to be my wife and my partner.
that was a great episode. That was a great episode of Franchise Today. I'm really pleased to say how far Franchise Today has come. You know, we started out 3.5 years ago. It was more or less just a hobby, being able to, you know, spread a little word around and see what happens. And I remember the first time that I did it, I had one person live and three people listened on demand. Now we usually have somewhere between 500 and 600 people listen live. And we've had as many as 12,000 people listen on demand within a week of a show airing. And it's just tremendous. I have to say that Lane's two episodes on FPRs in the first two legal series are two of the top three shows as far as listenership goes. And so, again, that's another testament to him, but it's also...
Don't tell that to them, but that's a testament to how wonderful you've been able to prepare and how easy it is to speak with you on all these interesting subjects. But don't tell Lane about that, because that might go to his head.
Well, you know, what might go to his head is the fact that there are other attorneys saying, hey, how many people were on Lane's show, because that's my benchmark, that's what I'm going after. I think that might get to him even more, but hey, he deserves it. So I just want to shift gears a little bit, because we touched on, you know PR and different things like that. And, you know, in today's digital world, you hear a lot of different grumblings about, you know, PR. And I'll put quotes around it for right now, because you have some that are coming across, You know, we're a progressive communications company. We're, you know, we do brand journalism. We're content marketers. And it seems like just a lot of it is just a nice way of saying PR. So the million-dollar question for you, and I think I know the answer, is PR dead?
PR is never going to be dead.
I know.
And as long as people, you know, it's always going to be a definition what they consider public relations. And, you know, is social media, and I guess I ask this question all the time, is social media part of PR? Absolutely. And, you know, it's a million-dollar question, and what a lot of people are still wanting from PR. They will always use PR to help generate more business, more name recognition, branding for their concepts and their franchisees. But that's still a big part of what we get called on is lead generation still, no matter
sure.
what.
Sure.
And
well, of course.
You can
yeah.
You know, whatever people do, I mean, the most success my clients will always have and enough of stuff. You know, if I get them on a national TV spot or the USA Today or the Wall Street Journal, that's better than any type of social media I can ever get them.
Sure, sure.
Because that's the type of stuff that people read. And no matter what, that's going to hit the media, the social media anyways.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That just creates fantastic content for the social media activity. So, I mean, and that's the thing because, you know, I spend a lot of time in and around social media, probably almost to the point of being obsessive at times, but I enjoy it, but it is nothing more than a tool like anything else. It shouldn't be used as a silver bullet, as magic dust or anything like that. You know, the same with PR. It still takes having the solid systems behind the brand, the solid unit economics, everything else running forward in order for all this to work. And a lot of people don't realize that, and I guess that's why the strong survive and the weak go by the wayside.
Yeah. Like I said, if you look at any lead generation survey, the highest percentage of leads are still, you know, of deals, what I call new franchisees, are going to come from referrals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the word of mouth. Word of mouth is still public relations. And
right.
Social media, like you mentioned, is one tool. I mean, there's so many different parts and facets of public, you know, of what people consider public relations. And, you know, that's what it comes down to. I mean, my firm happens to do really two things. We're media relations and we do social media. That's
right.
What we do. I'm not getting involved in the marketing aspect of it. I'm not getting involved in the advertising. I'm not going out and creating websites for people. We
right.
are very good at what we do, and we try to concentrate our efforts on one thing. I don't want to spread my staff out way too thin. And, you
yeah.
know, the more that my clients are successful, I apologize. What's
right. that? No, I was just going to say, you know, backing up to the Young Conference again, and, of course, we hear a lot about, you know, the credit. We hear about, you know, unit economics and stuff like that. And, of course, you know, going into this year, the big buzz phrase was social media. Because so many people just didn't understand it. But, you know, we're kind of turning the corner on that. I know more and more people want to understand how to integrate it with everything else they do. But how much at the Young Conference were the discussions about, you know, PR, social media, and technology?
Well, a big part of what is, like I said, as I mentioned before, we had two representatives from Google and plus the representative
right.
from Facebook there. So, obviously, these are some of the experts of what goes on in this space. And it's always going to be out there. And, you know, you're going to talk about it, and we can talk everything about it. We can talk about anything about PR. You can talk about social media. But when anyone who's going to look to buy a franchise opportunity, they're going to Google you.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is how do I get to the top of that Google, you know, what we like to call the first page?
Right.
The analytics that go by it and what goes on with it. And, you know, social media is going to have more and more impact as time goes on. It's just the way life is. Are people still going to use general media? Absolutely. Because,
mm-hmm.
and who knows, what the USA Today from possibly down the road is going to be what you read online. But
sure.
someone has still got to read
absolutely.
The content. Someone is still going to put together the stories.
Absolutely. It is all about stories. It is all about storytelling. Without the content, we really have nothing. Absolutely would have nothing. How important is it in your mind that franchisees get involved with social media and PR at the local level?
That's such a hard question because, and I get this all the time, a lot of the franchisors still want to be able to control the content. So how far do you let your franchisees go from a social media standpoint? I mean,
let's back that question up then. You know, is it important in your mind that franchisors put efforts and resources into social media and PR at the local level?
Oh, absolutely. But you know, unfortunately, a lot of cases it becomes budget. You know, as you mm-hmm. find that the larger franchisors can control what goes on the local level because of budget, the time and resources. I happen to be interviewed for an article today, and the biggest question, the question was about damage control, and it was more than that. This could be a franchisee, and we all both know about many situations that have gone viral of situations that you can't control.
Yep.
And I guess probably the question they asked me is, how can you control something in the middle of the night?
That is something, you know, and something that a lot of brands have been exposed to. And I know I've come across probably more positives than anything in the middle of the night, and I would say that I wasn't there trying to monitor in the middle of the night. But, boy, you talk about making an impact even when there's a positive comment at 3:30 in the morning and you just happen to be on and you respond at 3:35. It really goes a long way. So I don't think it's necessary to be responding all night and monitoring all night, but certainly we need to take a look at it come the beginning of the next day. Especially
as we all know of a famous pizza situation that occurred.
Oh yeah.
That the question comes to me. I said, it's a very good question. I mean, do you have someone monitoring in locally, domestically, or do you have a system that does it internationally, and how they respond to it, or can they respond to it?
Yeah, it's tough, but I think that you take a step back. And you say, okay, I mean, obviously it's important to do, some damage control, some crisis management, but, that's obviously a fallback position. As we talk about improving unit economics, also need to talk about, improving customer service and creating that positively memorable customer experience and making that part of the culture of the organization, that those type of situations like that occurred at Domino. And I'm not foolish enough to say that would never occur, but I think we'd probably do a lot more towards that end and create the cultures where that wouldn't occur. So I think that also needs to be done simultaneously, especially as we talk about today's consumer being, more educated, sophisticated, technologically advanced than ever before, more diligent, more cautious, more anxious in the decision-making process. I mean, we are open for business 24 hours a day, virtually standing next to customers and vice versa in the digital world. So we do need to create those positively memorable customer experiences as much as possible and have a trickle-down effect with the culture that absolutely exemplifies that positive customer experience at all times whenever possible.
Yeah, but they brought to me, we happen to be talking about Yelp. And, that you can try to educate your franchisees, your staff, as best as you can. Occasionally, say the pizza's cold, and they go out and make, the pizza with, they go out and put it on Yelp. I had a terrible experience that could blah, 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 blah. The question is, how do you respond to every complaint?
Right. It's a changed world. It's a changed world. There's no doubt.
As time goes on, you like to hopefully, as the economics get better, but as we all know, so much of the franchising space is in the service and food industry. And as the employment goes down, people are going to have problems with employees.
Oh, without a doubt. I saw one 3 weeks ago where a employment review site popped up to rival the customer review sites, and it was it's a place for employees to basically review, quote unquote, complain about employers. But here's what was unique about it, and I'll just give you a quick overview of what occurred. It was actually an employee. It was in an environment that had minimum wage teenagers as employees, where I think a lot of those review sites are going to wind up. And the person had left, but really didn't complain. It wasn't like it was a disgruntled employee, and this is why I think this really lends towards culture and unit economics and all of us doing our part. The former employee said that he thought that the position was a great learning experience. The business was a great place to learn and a great place to work, but basically pointed out three things. A, felt that the franchisee needed to spend more time in the business because there were things occurring that the franchisee was not aware of. B, that there needed to be better communications because this person felt that as things were told to the employees as far as policies, procedures, processes, and methods, it was more of a learning through the grapevine as opposed to there being a meeting, and felt that there should be some more formal training in the store in order to really create those positively memorable experiences. And I really marveled at that, Brad, because this is an 18-year-old, you know, talking about the things that we talk about and talk about the things that should be done but yet are often missed. And really from the perspective of an 18-year-old that is basically wrapped in this digital world, real-time stuff. I mean, hell, you talk technology to an 18-year-old and you know you've got kids, your son is, what, 18, 19 years old?
Yeah, I have a son who's 18.
Yeah, you talk technology, and I said, Dad, this isn't technology. This is stuff we use every day. Technology is like stuff we reach for. So it's really interesting to see that perspective. It really is.
I mean, we kind of met you going back to the UN-conference, and it goes back to what, you know, look at the franchisors who have been on Undercover Bosses this season.
Yep.
I mean, the Checkers issue, the perfect thing here, he closed the store because he found problems that the CEO found.
What about Dina Dwyer Owens sitting there in the car with one of our franchisees that says they weren't doing what was in with their in their customer code and stuff like that? I think she was shocked.
That's showing everything. You mentioned an 18-year-old, and you know, I look around now, and unfortunately, with a lot of the unemployment, you found a lot of 18-year-olds and 17-year-olds and 16-year-olds not working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, and I'm just as bad as culprit with my two children, but my two children have been very fortunate that they've had some role models. They understand franchising, and for instance, my 18-year-old, who's a senior in high school right now, is doing a summer internship with Shelley and JD's son at Brightstar.
Awesome.
And
that's great.
And he's working in the marketing/social media department.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
That's really amazing.
You're 100% right. These kids are so technologically advanced than we are. And
it's so second nature. It's scary.
Yeah, they've been brought up with it.
Yeah, they have. You know, we talk a lot, especially when we talk about social media, we talk about late night, of course, that lends towards, you know, fast food. And I got a very important report that I need you to expand upon. It had to do with a midnight run to McDonald's during the UN conference.
How did you hear about that now?
I'll tell you. Come on, it's my business to report news.
What happened was, you know, Lane and I take this being host very, very, very serious. We almost act like the mother and father at a wedding. So we walk around from table to table, and by the time we're through, Lane and I never eat. So I'll sit down for a few minutes, and by the time we do it, I look, Lane and I were talking, I go, Lane, I'm starved. And there was a McDonald's literally across the street. I said, listen, the drive-thru is still open. So, yes, Lane and I did a midnight run. They have our quarter pounder with cheese and our large fry.
Well, I guess the question that I have to ask you to expand it even further is, what wine goes with a quarter pounder with cheese?
There was no wine. We were drinking bottled water at that point, knowing that Lane and I both had to be up. It was funny. Like I said, by the time we got to bed, it was probably 1:30, 2 o'clock, and Lane and I both have to be down there around 7:15. All I know is at 5:30, I was wide awake. I did a conference call with someone on the East Coast. They go, why are you calling me now? I said, I'm up. I can't go back to bed. So I might as well get this thing done instead of trying to do it on Saturday. And I came back, and Sherry happened to stay. We have a home in Park City, and Sherry happened to stay at the home with some of the girls. She happened to stay with Deborah from my office and a few, and Liberty Harper from the Via Tech. So they were staying in the house. So I stopped over there, and Sherry goes, why are you here? I said, I'm up. So I brought some stuff back there. I stopped and got some coffee. By the time 7:15 comes, people go, you're already awake? I said, no, I've been up for hours. So, yeah, so Lane and I did make a McDonald's run, and, you know, no matter what, it goes back to my childhood. I still love quarter pounder with cheese and their fries.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, we have Mr. Feldman to thank for sharing some of that story. And he said
I figured that had to be Mr. Feldman.
Yeah. A matter of fact, as he said in his email to me, this should help stir the pot some.
Yeah, because Ron would never be caught dead in a McDonald's. Ron likes the finer food and finer wine in life. Me, I'm still a junk food lover.
yeah, without a doubt. You know, going back on a serious note to the Young Conference, and I was remiss in not asking this earlier, what were some of the demographics of the C-level executives that were there? I mean, was it from all different types of brands? Was it predominantly
Yeah, I mean, like as I mentioned, we had, you know, over 75 brands.
Wow.
And 56 of them were present CEOs. So you're finding it's a lot of common denominators, and that's what we like to do. There were smaller brands. I mean, the largest brand being there was Choice Hotels. Then we had some other brands that, you know, are under 10 units.
Sure.
So we try to keep
them.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting
to interact with those larger brands.
Yeah,
yes,
I mean, it's like I said, it's very interesting that a lot of them like to hear situations they go. And I had a couple of people tell me that the most important to them is they did not make some of the mistakes, because this was the second year that they were there. When last year they had about 30 units, and this year they're close to over 60. And they said it's interesting, some of the mistakes they did not make are because of what they learned last year.
Oh, that's awesome. That makes it well worthwhile right there.
Yeah,
that makes it worthwhile.
And, you know, like as you mentioned, a lot of these people have just came from, you know, the IFA convention, which was a fabulous convention, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there was close to, you know, was it 2,900 people at the IFA convention?
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is there were 2,900 people. The other news is it's hard to have small conversations because they keep you busy at the convention.
Sure. Yeah. They do. They absolutely do. And yet it was a great convention this year in Orlando, and looking forward to next year in Vegas again.
Yeah, and everyone knows
that
when it's Vegas, there's usually a 10% increase. So you could be looking over 3,000 plus people next year.
Right. Yeah, and I'm definitely looking forward to that. And one of these years, I'm going to get out to the Young Conference and join you.
We'd
guys.
Love to have you. You would find it fascinating. And like I said, there's just some great people there. Yes, we do have a lot of fun, but there's a lot of learning going on, which keeps, and as I mentioned, like I just mentioned, there's a lot of learning going on. It just happens to be in a more casual atmosphere that we can get at. And the big thing that everyone tells us is they do not want us to get too big with this.
Well, and that was going to be my next question. You know, where do you put a cap on it?
Well, this year we grew at about 10 people. And as we know, to make an event like this successful, is we do have some suppliers who, like, you know, Ron and Fran Fund and a bunch of other, you know, suppliers out there who help support it, so we can put on these fun things. I mean, this year we had, you know, four people who are national doing a trampoline act for us who are training for the Olympics, and one was a future former Olympian.
Wow.
So that, you know, unfortunately takes money. So we try to do it, but one thing that people don't want to do is get inundated with people selling services. And we tell people,
sure,
it's an opportunity to meet people in a casual atmosphere. It's great, but don't do the hard sell.
Right, and that is one of the main positives that I've heard from it from people that have attended, that said it's great that it's in that atmosphere. You're able to network, and there isn't hard selling. And hats off, that's exactly the way it should be. Absolutely, I think that's what really helps helps build the strength of the UnConference.
And I'll be honest with you, we have a waiting list of suppliers, and there's people in the past who've done hard sales, and Lane and I just did not invite back.
Sure,
because it is an invite only conference.
Sure.
And because we're a not-for-profit, and not only not-for-profit, we lose money on it every year.
Yeah.
But we have fun with it. I kind of figured that.
I didn't think from all the things that are going on, and also I know you guys are the type of guys that will commit before you even think about it, just because you're looking at it from the goals and objectives standpoint and making it the best and for the entire industry. I definitely thank you guys for that, because
we're usually the yin and the yang of this. Lane goes, let's try this. I go, Lane, if you have an idea of what the budget would be for something like this. So I'm the one who has to say, no, Lane, we can do this, but we can't do that. But, you know, we try to make it really fun. I mean, the first night, like I said, we started with a Mexican dinner. Now it's, like I said, it turned out to 90 people. The second night, we have it at a bowling alley. And
wow.
The food's very good, and people get the bowl. There's pool tables. Yes, people, there's an open bar. But, you know, it's camaraderie. People going out there. Where else are you going to find a franchise event where people are bowling?
All right, well, I got one more million-dollar question. How the hell does Dawn put up with you and Lane?
Dawn's known us for a long, long time.
That's my point.
And Dawn's realized a lot of cases, the easiest way to tell Lane and I know is by email.
Well,
you know,
like
I said, Dawn's like a little sister to Lane and I. And so over the years, you know what a little sister is occasionally. So,
yeah.
You know, sometimes they'd have to tell their big brothers to shut up.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, I certainly appreciate all you guys do. I appreciate you being here today, taking the time away from your family to talk with me today. It's always enjoyable talking to you. I love working with you and your team over at Fishman. Love seeing you and Sherry at the conferences, and hope to see more and more of you. And again, hats off to you and to Dawn and to Lane for a great effort and all that you do for franchising. Thank you again, and happy spring break to you and your family.
Oh, thank you so much. I always love appearing, and Lane, myself, and Dawn really enjoy this thing, and we're glad we can do this for the franchise industry, and this is something we want to continue to do.
All right, great. I appreciate it, Brad. This is Franchise Today. We'll be back next Thursday with Mike Roseman from Bowfly. We'll be talking about the Small Business Lending Summit, which will be coming up in Washington, D.C. on April 17th. If you have yet to see any of the information about it, go to the IFA website, franchise.org, or you can go and follow me on Facebook and Twitter and everything else imaginable on social media and digital world, and I'm sure you'll find some of the information there. So until next week, my name is Paul Segretto, wishing you the best, the very best in this great thing we call franchising, and Franchise Today is out.